they say that, like, the Colosseum and blood sports and those sorts of things are like a sign of the end of civilization.
So you're pretty much saying that YouTube boxing is a sign of a civilizational decline?
Well, I think it's definitely a shift. I remember you seeing some TikToks with young people describing a quote-unquote vibe shift this year. And I don't think it's necessarily a vibe shift as more as it is like an acceleration downhill.
Because, a downward spiral.
I don't know, like, in the 90s, there was a TV show called Celebrity Deathmatch,
yeah,
which was essentially this very concept. But of course, celebrities had so much self-respect that they would never actually get in a ring and fight. So they would make this weird claymation, like crazy over-the-top fights. And yeah, it was fun and it was, yeah, silly. But now it's like, even if you have like a sliver of celebrity, you can then like turn that into a fucking like
YouTube
people
career.
Actually want to see you fight. And it's, and I guess it does have like a different kind of dimension to it where like professional athletes training to be the best boxer they can and sort of having that kind of athletic competitiveness and rivalry with other boxers is one thing. But to literally have like some skinny twink that's half your age writing like a fucking shitty rap diss track about you on the internet, and then for you to be like, you know what, let's fucking go, bro,
I'm gonna box
and
you.
Not only that, but I'm gonna win like a little trophy, and it's gonna be content for YouTube, and I'm gonna get paid for this.
This is like really, I mean, so wait, how does this work? So YouTubers that are beefing one another, yeah, sign up to go on this YouTube boxing show.
I believe so.
Where they publicly humiliate themselves money.
It could be a public humiliation.
It kind of is, because from what you showed me,
well, that was,
these guys are not like in shape. They're like YouTubers.
So, well, one of them,
they're like pallid and skinny.
So we saw
and
one
twink-like.
We saw one with this guy called Dad, and I don't even remember of the young fella. He was Matt Watson, I think his name was. I don't know what kind of content Matt normally does on YouTube, but I saw that he did a diss track of Dad, you know, of all of, like a minute long terrible diss track, and then you saw the ongoing fight, and Dad was clearly a fan of like One Punch Man, and I think he might have had like some sort of Dragon Ball Z tattoo on him as well. So he's into fighting stuff.
Dude, no, just because you watch fucking Dragon Ball Z doesn't mean you're going to be able to publicly humiliate yourself.
He took it seriously though, and did like an intense like 8 hour or 10 hour a day boxing fucking like camp or whatever. No, he did. Like, there's all the videos.
I doubt it,
like,
very much.
On his YouTube thing, there's a video of him doing the
YouTubers
whole thing.
YouTubers fake shit all the time, dude.
Whatever.
I doubt he was in there for 10 hours.
He managed to polish this kid off in 22 fucking seconds.
Because the kid literally weighs like 110 pounds.
Well, then why would you step into the fucking ring?
He's like, he looks like he could be a Rick Owens like runway model. He's like, not in the looks department, but in terms of his frame, like he's skinny and like pallid.
But then why would you step into the ring? And that kid is there, like the skinny rapper kid is there, like making claims, oh, I put a fucking 10 pound of muscle on for this fight. It's like, dude, you're 20 pounds soaking wet. So how the fuck does that work? Like, there's no fucking way. So the skinny rapper kid was like 26, and this guy, this YouTuber called Dad, is 41.
Is that even legal?
I think it is legal. I think they're within the same height and kind of like roughly the same weight and stuff.
Bro, he looks,
I think Dad had a bit more, a bit more of a weight advantage, but like,
either way.
Yeah, but the thing is if you were beefing on YouTube and then, you know, even if you both took it whatever seriously, even if the rapper kid didn't take it seriously, but he was like, fuck it, yeah, let's fucking go. It's like 3 rounds of 3 minutes. He pussied out after 22 seconds and didn't even get knocked out.
Yeah, because like, he's not a fucking fighter.
No,
he's a YouTuber.
There should be a clause. There should be a fucking clause. You can't just do that. You signed up to fight for fucking at least 9 minutes.
You just want to watch him get fucking beat up like fucking Gerard Leto in Fight Club, just like
you can't,
fucking
I'm
wailing
sorry,
on this
you,
like
you,
skinny YouTube
you can't,
YouTube
you can't
boy's
give
face.
Up after 22 seconds, dude. No way. Like, you know, There's first round knockouts in boxing. Like, it's not unheard of.
You take those punches like a man.
Yeah, if you've signed up and you've done this whole beef and you're doing this whole fucking stupid, like, ridiculous thing, then stand by your fucking shit and, like, fight your fucking fight, man. Don't, like, take a couple punches to the head and go, oh, shit, he actually knows how to fucking punch someone. And, like, quit. That is the worst thing possible.
Oh my goodness. Like, I mean, the worst thing possible is that this sort of thing exists in the first place. And I get it. It's just like stupid, like mindless entertainment. But like, I mean, it just shocks me that people would be undignified enough to participate in it. But then again, these are like YouTubers who are like doing very like lowbrow content anyway. And it's like, why would anyone want to watch something that's about people who nobody's ever heard of, who aren't even really fully trained to box, get in the fucking ring and beat each other up?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a different dynamic. It's because there's all this drama and this whole it's like the middle ground between wrestling and actual boxing. Because wrestling's completely fake, but and it's sort of like
acting. It's also kind of appropriate as well, because YouTubers put on this sort of hyper real kayfabe.
Yeah, exactly.
They're fake people doing fake shit most of the time, and that's the whole ethos of wrestling. So instead of like wrestlers, you just like have people with like inbuilt kayfabe fight each other, basically.
Yeah, and even if it's an amateur fight, it doesn't matter, it's still entertaining.
Who would you want to see in the ring?
I was about to ask you that very same question.
I want to see like something really ridiculous, like Trisha Paytas versus like Anthony Fontano.
Oh my god, that'd
be funny.
She would
fucking wipe the floor with his fucking Q-tip head for sure. That would be hilarious.
That'd be hilarious. I would want to see like maybe like an old school mashup, like Ray William Johnson versus Wheezy Waiter or something like that.
Like Lindsay Ellis versus Wang.
Oh, you're for a completely, I don't know what boxing league you're talking about. Like, men don't fight women in boxing, man. Like,
now they do.
No, I don't think so. Like, even in
it's equality, Jake. Nah, shut the fuck up.
You can't have that. That would just be that. Wang would floor fucking Lindsay Ellis.
No,
or
I think that she's got like, you know, tricks up her sleeve.
Nah, he's a stocky guy, man.
But she would have like ninja stars. Like, no, I think we should do like me versus you. I think that'd be funny.
I'd love to see Ethan Klein versus like the Liver King or something. Like one of those like ultra macho fucking like fitness guys versus Ethan Klein.
That'd be funny.
Just to watch Ethan get beat the fuck up though. That'd be hilarious.
That'd be funny. Or like Ethan Klein. Oh, what would be a really gross fight to watch? Like someone like Vosh versus like,
oh, what's that that fat gay guy?
Which one?
Nick Avocado. Yeah. Vosh versus Nick Ocado Avocado. I would watch that fucking fight.
That Nick Ocado
would be so funny.
Is actually like Bae's like right winger.
Oh my god, dude. Can you actually imagine it? Vosh challenges Nick Ocado Avocado to a fucking content creators brawl, whatever the fuck it's called. I can't even remember. And he's just like, okay, I'm going to do it. And like, he turns his whole fucking life around and he loses like all of that weight training and becomes like Jason Momoa levels ripped in 6 months. And he just completely destroys Vosh.
Nick Ocado Avocado.
Yeah, yeah. That would be the funniest thing. That would be so fucking funny to watch.
Oh my God. Well, we may as well
just
make
does
up
like a full Rick and Morty vibe. Like, it's like overpoweredly fucking muscular. And
why don't we do that this summer? Why don't we do the montage from Rick and Morty and we both just get like really ripped and like go after our enemies?
I don't have enemies to be going after like that.
Actually, I'm healthy and not mentally ill. I have no enemies.
If I actually had someone that I felt like was an enemy worth pursuing like that,
would you pull like Cape Fear? Like, what's his face in Cape Fear when he's in the prison and he's just like fucking bench pressing, looking at pictures of his fucking.
No, it'd be like Taxi Driver, just like doing all those psychopathic fucking like mantras to myself.
No, I don't have anyone that I would want to fight in a fucking boxing ring. I wouldn't put myself through the public humiliation of like showing public anger to someone in such a visceral way like that.
Yeah, it'd be pretty
even
weird.
If it was just for lols, like,
oh my god, it'd be interesting to see if, like, if it goes into, like, celebrities, if they just lose complete respect. So it's not like YouTubers is kind of like, I don't know, a tier kind of similar to reality TV stars, I guess.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like not that big a deal yet, just yet. But if it became into if, like, actual celebrities,
then we would really be, like, in the Coliseum days.
Yeah, like Piers Morgan and, like,
versus Meghan Markle,
you know, or like, yeah, and Jeremy Paxton or someone like you know.
No, Will Smith versus fucking Chris Rock when.
Oh,
made.
But that's not. They're not. That's just not a boxing match, though, is it? Because Will Smith is just so much bigger than Chris Rock.
Chris Rock will train.
No,
because all the big guys will be on his side.
Look, I know, like, Rogan. I know Rogan's going to be there to train Chris Rock, yeah, but I don't think that is going to make that much difference, because fucking Will Smith has already done, like, so many action movies, dude, and he's got to learn all
no,
that
he's
shit.
He's just pretty. He's like an action man.
Nah,
like,
man.
Actors are so effeminate.
Actors have to learn so much skills for loads of those
roles.
Yeah,
but those
dude.
Are like it's
have
like dancing. It's like acrobatics. It's not actual combat. Like, Jackie Chan says it all the time.
Uh-uh.
He says that what he does is more similar to dancing, and that he's not actually like equipped to fight anybody. Like, it's all acrobatic. They're basically ballerinas. Like, fucking, you train, if you trained, if you got in the gym, if you drank your protein powder, if you lifted, bro, you'd be able to take pretty much most actors, even if they're like, they look like Bill, in my opinion.
Let's take it above YouTubers. Like, what kind of, what, like, actual celebrity death matches would you like to see? I'd love to see Kate Middleton and Meghan Markle go at it.
You're toxic.
I feel like that.
Why
would
are you sowing dissent between sister-in-laws?
I feel like that would also be
toxic.
Like, you could sell infinity tickets to that fight. Like, am I wrong?
No,
like,
dude,
you would sell infinity tickets to that fight. There's no way that, like, literally it wouldn't be the most fucking
but
viewed.
It would be,
like,
it would be all like the catty, like, royalist mums who, like, read OK magazine.
No,
would,
I don't,
like,
think so,
go.
Dude. I think that would be viewed in every pub in England. Like, I think that would be akin to,
it'd be
like
go on, Kate, do it for England.
That would be akin to, like, England being in the World Cup final. I feel like that would be in every. It might be even, like, on big screens in Trafalgar Square, and, like, you know, like.
But knowing our luck, Kate Middleton would lose. And it would be another great embarrassment for our already failing nation.
Oh, you feel like Meghan Markle could take Kate?
Oh, yeah. Meghan Markle could fucking take her.
Well, it's
her.
Not like Meghan's from the streets, you know? I would say she's not going to pull out some street moves.
She's
definitely not that.
But she's, you know, she's not from the streets, but she's American. Like, Americans have a lot more feist in them than, like, upper class British girls. I could take a fucking upper class British girl easily. Like, you know, an American could easily floor any, like, upper class British girl, because Americans, even if they don't come from the streets, they're a little bit more, you know,
wily,
yeah.
I don't
they're
know about
a naughty,
that.
Rambunctious bunch.
I don't know about that.
It's true.
I don't know about
it's
that.
It's true. I went to high school in America, and there was a couple of times where I was stepped to.
Because Kate is, you know, as you said, she's of that class that's almost, like, bred to be a good, you know, good genes, good athletic, fit, whatever. So she's good. If she in private school, she'd have done all those fucking
just
sports
and shit.
Just because
you did archery and fucking horse
riding.
Yeah,
if she did archery stuff, maybe she's,
like,
even
fucking
got killer instinct. She'll fucking, do you know what I mean? You're boosting the odds for Middleton here. I'm just saying.
Maybe she like hunts like homeless people on the grounds of Balmoral Castle in some ritual with
cold.
Like the royal family.
Yeah, the odds are going up even more. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but even then, she would have to sort of tone down her killer instinct for public.
Of course, they
the
all
public,
do.
Just to maintain her image of gentility.
They all
which
do.
Would give Meghan the advantage.
They all do, but I still don't know. I don't know who would win in that fight. I don't really put Meghan Markle as someone that would be a scrapper at all, but neither would Kate. It would just be, like, so funny to watch them fight.
Like, honestly, since it already feels as if we're coming to the end of civilization, like, why don't they at least make it more interesting and entertaining, you know? There seems to be all this tension and shit bubbled up. Maybe the YouTubers are right, and we should just have people
they should just
televise
get
their scraps.
They should just get Zelensky and Putin in there.
Yeah, fuck it. Or when people are beefing on Twitter, there should be like a Twitter version of this.
Wait, that would sell out instantly. Who would you take on in the Twitter ring?
No one, because everyone on Twitter scares me.
Oh,
like they all seem really unhinged. Well,
who would be your Twitter matchup then? Who do you see beefing a lot on Twitter that you're like, oh my god, just like get in a ring and fuck or fight and get it over with?
I don't know, because I don't really follow people as much as I follow like things that are said. Really, like I'm more looking for news and like interesting thoughts and tidbits. So I don't know who I would pit against each other, but I wouldn't want to get in the ring with anyone from Twitter, dude. That would be like putting me in a room with like fucking Hannibal Lecter or someone from like an insane asylum.
I feel like fighting someone from Twitter would be, they're going to be in worse shape than someone on YouTube.
Probably, yeah.
Because they don't have to like show their face or anything in
but
any kind of way.
It doesn't matter. They have
so
like,
they're probably literally neckbeards.
But they're like doubly mentally ill than people on YouTube. So they would have that extra like feistiness, if you know what I mean.
Feistiness, but then again, with that feistiness and mental instability, should we say, comes a lack of focus and like and the ability to.
But it
you
depends
know.
On. I have anxiety, so it depends on if I can calm myself down. Enough to use that to my advantage, because while they're not focusing, I'm also not focusing because I'm freaking out because I'm in the ring with a complete insane person, and I feel like
you come out. That's like boxing training 101. You just gotta like shum. The cold comes over. You're just a punching machine. You're just ready to go punching.
I can just imagine you like swinging your arms like Scooby-Doo style, just like in round circles.
Oh,
oh my god. But yeah, I mean, like I said, civilization feels like it's declining.
Yeah, it's a little bit like modern Colosseum. That's where I was going with it. That's how I opened the episode, wasn't it? That's the comparison I was trying to make, is that like, it feels a little bit like, I don't know, you'd never seen this sort of thing really before, and it's a sign of decline.
I was reading this article the other day about like neo-feudalism, and it was, I don't know whether or not I agree with it. I'm like one of those people who like reads theory from all kinds of different political traditions. And I'm just like, oh, wow, man, that sounds compelling. But I don't really have any. It's like the Robert Anton Wilson thing where you like, it's like, I don't believe anything, but I have many suspicions or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounded really interesting what the person was sort of writing about. And they were talking about how the only time in human history that sort of had a similar type of wealth inequality was, you know, feudal Europe, basically. Feudal Europe had a similar amount of wealth inequality in terms of like
the gap between the rich and the poor.
Yeah, the gap between the rich and the poor is like we do now. And they were sort of outlining many of the different traits of feudalism and how they would apply to today. So stuff like huge, massive wealth disparities between the rich and the poor. Also, things like lack of movement, not being able to move easily or relocate, being locked to a specific place. Talked about how that was sort of normal in feudal times and how during COVID, the restrictions kind of were similar to that. Loads of different, they made quite a lot of like compelling parallels. And it got me thinking about this part they were talking about how cult of personality was also important in maintaining the feudal order, because cult of personality was what basically kept the feudal system running. So peasants were loyal to their landlords, and they had to trick themselves into the cognitive dissonance that their landlord was like a really great person and a really noble, honorable guy, because their whole livelihood depended on him, and vice versa, like with the king and the landlord, and how now cult of personality has come back almost in this sort of feudal fashion. And also how in feudal times, politics and power moves and tended to sort of matter more than economics, and how that's now the case too, where cult of personality and politics matters way more than actual economic things. And yeah, I just thought it was really compelling. And also the idea of like a tech company like YouTube sponsoring people fighting each other in a ring.
Yeah.
It just feels like we're constantly regressing back to this, like, it's
like
weird.
Cult of personality is sort of what they associate with the success of people like Boris Johnson and Trump, isn't it?
Yeah.
And but I think the difference is that no one's fooling themselves that they're honorable or good in any way. I think it's something else that they're sort of attracted to.
Well, I think their followers do. Maybe not so much. Not so much Boris Johnson.
Yeah,
but someone like Trump, for instance, and not just
that's
like
true, actually.
Cult
they
of
do,
personalities
they, yeah.
Emerge around basically most leaders in modern history. Obama had his
big time,
massively.
He's probably a bigger example.
Yeah, a bigger
than
example
Trump.
Than Trump. People say that Trump
didn't matter what Obama did.
No,
like Obama could have done what Trump said and like shot someone wherever the fuck and like
he literally drank
done that
the water
big smile
in fucking
and, like,
Flint, Michigan,
given a nice speech and everyone
he drank
would have
the
forgiven
fucking
him.
Water. Imagine if Trump had drunk the water in Flint, Michigan. People do tend to.
He would never do that, though, would he?
No. Well, he would. I mean, he wouldn't.
Not on some kind of moralistic, like,
yeah.
good basis, by
no.
the way, but just on the, that's gross.
Yeah.
I'm not drinking that shit.
But even then, like, people like to put a lot of scrutiny on Trump's quote-unquote cult of personality, but Obama's, like you said, his cult of personality was arguably much larger.
Mm.
And much more impactful than Trump's was. And even till today, despite his presidency being disastrous, he's still viewed as this like great statesman, you know?
That's true.
He's still chiming in. Like even the massacre that just happened, he wrote some really weird tweet where he was like, oh, now that everybody is mourning this tragedy, let us turn our attention to... be like the I think it was George Floyd who was strangled last year, and it's like, why are you turning?
What?
It was so weird. I'm paraphrasing, but it was so weird.
I thought he was going to use it to promote his new documentary.
He used it to promote. I don't know. It was weird, and then he put links to some. I don't know. It was really weird, and like, yeah, he had a massive cult of personality. Not just that, the rich are getting so much richer now to feudal levels of rich. And obviously their kids are going to inherit that wealth.
Yeah.
So they have heirs.
Yeah.
And dynasties.
It's like, in
like
a way...
Like, if you look at something like Succession, the TV show, the reason it's so fucking popular and famous right now, I think, is because of its feudal undertones.
Mm.
Like, we are kind of returning to a neo-feudalism.
Well, it is the modern feudalism, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's the modern feudal struggle with, like, one of those sorts of companies that has so much power
yeah.
that it's not even constrained to a single nation.
Exactly.
But it's actually like
and who does
regions
it follow?
Of the globe and like that kind of
who
thing.
Who does it follow? The dynasty. Why the fuck do you think Elon Musk has a bunch of kids? Like he's trying to build a dynasty.
Well,
those are going to be our future, a little future overlords and
hey,
stuff.
Hey, from Crusader Kings, I'm just saying, Elon, that's like a bad tactic.
You're like, you've not
okay?
got enough sons. You need more sons.
Yeah,
well, I know. I think he's got a lot of boys, actually.
Look, the reason you'd have lots of sons back in Crusader King times, like back in Viking times and fucking medieval times and shit, is because they would die, which is very sad.
Yeah.
They would die. So if you had five, you were kind of lucky if like, one of them turned out good and like healthy and shit.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know if that's like totally the fucking numbers, but it was like, that's why you had a lot of kids because you were most likely going to die.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, dude, you're so wealthy. You're not going to die.
Well,
you can literally pay for blood boys. There's like nothing that's out of your reach.
It doesn't matter. We haven't got immortality yet. And like a lot of these new rulers, these new oligarchs, well, not even new, the ones who have gotten to the point where they're so wealthy now that they're basically controlling major parts of like the superstructure, they are thinking about posterity.
Or is it like you've gotten to the point where, you know, if it's just a single nation or whatever, like Crusader Kings, that splitting off into lots of different sons is a really bad thing. But once you've gotten to the kind of like level of power and like where it is like Succession and Elon Musk and it's kind of multinational and global,
yeah,
actually having loads of sons or doors is really good because then they can go off into all these different areas of industry and like
yeah.
dominate in
yeah.
loads of areas
yeah.
instead of being like, because you don't, there's so much wealth now that it's almost a bottleneck to have it with just one person
big
and one
time.
Brain, which is kind of how probably he
yeah.
feels.
But
like, oh
thing,
my God, if there's only 10 of me.
But one thing about feudalism as well is that there's like no upward mobility. And like in a lot of other parts of the world, like, especially here in the UK where feudalism is like in our brains, ingrained into our like
because we still have like a queen and shit, like, you know, we are used to that predicament of like they're having very little social mobility. Social mobility only really started to happen, you know, during like the early stages of neoliberalism, but then it had a very fast end point, obviously, because it was unsustainable. America, they've been sold this idea of the American dream, and they found themselves in this like technocratic, like techno-feudalist, like dystopia where there is no social mobility, where avenues to social mobility have been largely shut down, and they're basically feudal peasants in this sort of tech feudalist dystopia. And I don't think a lot of them have woken up to that fact. They still think that the old world exists or that it's going to come back. And like these motherfuckers have COVID was one of the largest upwards transfer of wealth in human history, for fuck's sake. Like it was one of the largest upwards transfers of wealth. And like they've consolidated that shit. It's already happened.
Yeah.
And the social mobility, the lack of social mobility is what creates like a gridlock in like a feudal system. And I feel like that's what people haven't woken up to realize, is that's kind of where we're at right now.
That's the attitude of a lot of the crypto bros, I feel like, is that there's no, if you grind, you know, you're not going to achieve or attain the kind of lifestyle or whatever the kind of thing that you want to do in life.
Yeah.
So invest in these shit coins or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And hopefully on a wing and a prayer, you'll like make to the moon money and you'll have a fucking time on Mars.
Yeah.
And or not even like, I think that's even like on an open heart, like goodwill kind of most people level on the crypto thing.
Yeah.
But then even one like deeper than that are the people that will invent these coins and rob like the general public for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is generational wealth. That is them forcibly moving up the socioeconomic ladder or whatever and like taking that themselves.
Yeah.
Which is kind of...
It's the 21st century.
When you phrase it like that, is kind of pirate and pretty based.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's also actually like really horrible because you are robbing lots of like ordinary people.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the 21st century version of being a highwayman in feudal times.
Yeah, because pirates would rob like the British Empire and tea companies and like things like that.
A highwayman would accost people who were traveling.
Yeah, they would.
Those are people that were like basically out in the... I don't know how much of this is based on my like Arthurian romantic imagination and like actual history. But I mean, a highwayman...
Was more like Victorian like vibes, wasn't it?
Well, I'm guessing that there were thieves and rogues and people who like...
Of course.
...robbed people. And that's sort of the 21st century version of that, like, space in the feudal order. It's like it's a very precarious space because you're acting both against the interests of the community at large and the law. So you're like, you have both of them on your fucking back.
You introduced me to a phenomenal phrase the other day. They're 21st century Yahoo boys. You said it's like in the late 90s, Yahoo was obviously Yahoo or AOL was like one of your email or internet providers or whatever back in the day. And
one
so,
of my?
No, like one of the, like early internet. Yeah. Right? So like Nigerians would use Yahoo to like, do the early like internet scams and stuff.
Yeah.
And locally they would be known as Yahoo boys.
Yeah.
It's just an evolution of that. But it's no longer constrained to Nigeria. Like everyone's doing
but
it.
Think
and
about
doing
it when
with,
there's no social...
Doing it with this guise of like, I'm a legit thing and this is a honest project, winky wink face.
Like Nigerian society, still has those sorts of feudal undertones as well. Mm. But there is no social mobility and there is a huge gap between the rich and poor.
Yeah.
And that's why those Yahoo boys or whatever were doing those scams.
Exactly.
Because it was their way of trying to grasp some level of upward mobility in a place where there literally is none and it's like almost hopeless. And like when we went to Nigeria last summer, you were shocked at the way the class system works.
Yeah, it was
you
pretty
have
crazy.
Rich people. And poor people, that's just it.
Or I guess I haven't been around the sort of level of rich people where they treat people that are working for them badly. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've been around a lot of wealthy English people, to my standard, that are still incredibly...
polite.
Yeah. And if you're working for them,
yeah,
they're very, like, respectful.
But the reason why that's the case...
And they're very, you know what I mean?
But the reason why that's the case, like, is because in the Western world, if you abuse your workers or you speak badly to them, there are potential legal consequences for that. If you're working for someone and they're talking anyhow and, like, treating you anyhow, you could take them to court for harassment, all kinds of shit. In Nigeria, that's not the case. So people bully the shit out of the people and they're very cruel to them because they view them as expendable objects. And I think it was a huge culture shock for you to see the extent to which the rudeness to staff and to people, but it's just how it is. And then you come there as a Westerner and you're like, or they view you almost as if you're like kumbaya because you're like disgusted by the way they treat theirs. But it's just the order out there. It's just how it is. And Westerners don't know how heavy it is to live in a situation like that.
Yeah.
But it's starting to happen here.
Yeah.
It's starting to manifest here. There's that social order where there's that huge gap. And a lot of the tension that arises from that is starting to kind of happen here, and I think people are going to have a really difficult time adjusting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's sort of putting way too much pressure on a lot of really important parts of society at the moment.
Yep.
And it's all coming to a head.
Yep.
Sometimes in mildly funny ways, but also you can just see the greater picture is like not great.
Yeah.
Like obviously some of the fallout from the like war in Ukraine is they did some scheme in the UK basically where people were offering up their homes to take Ukrainian refugees in.
Oh yeah.
And let's put a little bet down. How do you think that went?
Disastrously.
Yeah, fucking terribly. And like you've got the classic Orwellian doublespeak of the people in the charity that are working directly with these refugees and like them registering for homelessness now and getting kicked out from like differences with these families and all of this stuff and being like, yep, this is a real problem. This is a disaster. This isn't happening. Like there's like, you know, this isn't working at all. And then the government body that is responsible and its idea that this whole program is and the reason they have a job is they're going, oh no, that's actually a very rare instance. And by our numbers, it's a 9 out of 10 success rate. It's phenomenal. And you're just like,
oh my God.
Okay, well, which one was that? But I've read a funny story about one where it was some young Ukrainian woman had come to this couple's house and they were like about our age, like 28. 29.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
They were in the north, which is why they have a house.
Yeah, so I was like, gonna you know, say, yeah, like,
okay, so don't worry.
What couple has a house in London?
No. So they were in like Manchester or somewhere, I think.
Okay.
And this is how I read about it in the paper. And this young Ukrainian lady, woman moved in, and the boyfriend fell in love with her.
Uh-oh.
And
God, that is not real.
Yeah.
Spill the tea.
Scandaloo.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Scandaloo.
For real.
Oh my gosh.
And then there was an interview with the very upset girlfriend that's ex-girlfriend now.
Oh my God, she got cuckolded.
Yeah. And so this
Ukrainian
yeah.
hussy.
Yeah. Well, you know, refugee. She's been through a lot.
I know, okay. But I'm just saying.
She's been through a lot.
I'm just saying, those Eastern herself... European ladies... treacherous,
which is crazy. But it was just kidding. It's like one of those things where, you know, you read about these things that people plan and it's all well and good, like having an open heart, and if you've got the resources and space to offer a family or something, someone space like that, that's a really nice thing to do.
Stop being with the kumbaya. For a lot of these people, it's a vanity project. Like,
yeah.
Think about it. If it wasn't a vanity project, you would have thought through the pros and cons. You would have prepared yourself psychologically and emotionally for what you were going through. These people jump into it without much thought, knowing that it's for their ego, that it's this sort of self-serving vanity thing. And then when they inevitably come up against reality, the reality of having a fucking stranger in your home,
they freak out and like fucking toss their fucking toys out of the pram. Well, like, I'm not surprised that this has happened.
No, not at all. But it's like...
It's like shocker.
If you're not going to invest the resources to house refugees properly, and you're going to do some fucking weird scheme where you're relying on people's houses and this sort of thing...
Like, even when friends stay over, it's weird.
But then put at least a little bit of resources into like training and providing training for those people that are going to be taking refuge. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
There has to be at least an amount of resources put into something for you to actually solve or come anywhere close to answer or coming up with a feasible solution for a problem. And like the government just finds a way to fucking not do any of that.
Yeah.
All the time. It's really fucking frustrating. And that's not unique to the UK.
The people make it easy for them, though, because they're like, you know, their narcissism is so easily manipulated, basically. You know, like it's almost like an accessory to have a refugee staying with you for these like psychotic lib people. And there have been so many stories of like coming out of people who have been made to feel uncomfortable or like some kind of weird like tension or upheaval or weirdness. Like, ugh, I would feel like I was in that movie Get Out if I was like at the mercy of some like white fucking Extinction Rebellion, labor voting.
It's not right. And I think
well-meaning like lib.
I think they were like using hotels and all sorts of other stuff to... when we had Afghan refugees come back from the fucking travesty. And that was only like not that long ago. It's just like, dude, we have like already a housing crisis here. You can't like force this kind of pressure onto ordinary people to take in refugees.
Yeah.
On top of like cost crises for fucking living and like everything else, man.
Everything is in crisis.
It is crisis in Klonkaminkus.
Really, it is like, crisis everywhere you fucking look. It's like fucking crazy.
Crisisville, population, fucking everyone mate. Right now. It's actually really mad.
Yep. Yep.
And it's really hard to see a way forward. And I think that's kind of like probably the whole plan.
Yeah.
For like the people, the media and everything that's happening. Not that everything's orchestrated, but like...
I think a lot of stuff is orchestrated,
the way that it's at least the information's displayed and talked about is enough to make you just be like... Well, for at least for me, it's just been like, fuck it, dude. What is the point about even getting above a 4 out of 10 emotionally about almost anything at the moment? Because any information you read... You have to take with such a large fucking chunk of salt.
Yeah.
That it's just like...
Or the information doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Or there are glaring, like...
Or it's just so inconsistencies. Maddening. Yeah. Or it's just so maddeningly fucking frustrating. Like when you read about them doing stupid schemes like to fucking open up people's houses for refugees and stuff. You read stuff like that and you're just like, Jesus Christ, this is where we're at. This is literally... Jesus fucking Christ.
It's like demoralizing. Or you try to follow the trail of like what's going on with BLM's tax stuff. Like everything is just like horrifying and like demoralizing when you look at the sort of current climate. And then on top of that, this week, of course, there's been like multiple mass shootings.
Multiple?
Yeah, multiple.
I thought it was the school one.
There's a school shooting. That was the one at the supermarket.
Oh, I didn't even know about that one.
You didn't? That one. That was the one that was... it's sad that they're all starting to blur into each other now.
Were they like in the same state or were they...
No, different states. So one was on the border, like near the border of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was in Buffalo, New York. And obviously they were both like devastating, needless losses of life. And like both were incredibly sad. But I think that after Sandy Hook, people wanted to hope that like kids wouldn't get caught in the insanity again. And unfortunately it happened.
Yeah, it's just another one of those demoralizing things where you don't really feel like anything's going to happen or change.
No, but also what I found disturbing was how people were sort of climbing over the dead bodies of the victims immediately to like try to be like, what's the race of the killer? What's their political affiliation? Like all these things in order to find a way of politically weaponizing it against others. despite the fact that there are multiple things that cause these events, that it's a confluence of things, and that there isn't any sort of unique part of society where evil doesn't exist. Like, every part of society has some form of antisocial or evil lurking underneath it.
Mm.
There's always this sort of rush to use these incidents to prove a point about one's political opponents. And I guess it's because these incidents are so tragic, so horrible, and so devastating that people just want to revert to the most like comfortable shorthand they can find. And politics and race are the ways people these days basically decode someone's like morality. It's like this sort of weird shorthand that people use, and it's really fucked up and toxic, because there have been the mass shootings that have happened this year have been quote unquote eclectic, as horrible as that is to sound. There's been some done by white supremacists. There's been some done by black nationalists. There have been some done by crazy teenagers who we don't know what the fuck they were motivated by as of now, like the shooting that happened at the elementary school. Like, you know, it's much bigger than politics. And the thing that really annoys me is that people hyper-focus on the politics of these people instead of looking at what's underneath it. Like, the politics aspect, whenever you read their manifestos or you look at their presence online or the things that they've said, you can tell that all that stuff is just like a LARP. It's just sort of like an outlet for their antisocial like proclivities.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of socializing in a way. And it's not necessarily this like deep felt conviction. And then secondly, news came out today that one of the shooters, the one at the elementary school, had been corresponding with a ex FBI agent before the shooting. So that's what I'm saying. Like, and it's not as if it's like unsaid in like US history or whatever, that FBI agents haven't like fucking agitated and groomed mentally ill people who are alienated in order to do stuff. And I'm not necessarily saying that's what happened here, wink, wink, nod, nod, but like...
but that is what you're saying.
But let's just say there's like a myriad of forces at play at all times. And I think people get really small-minded and myopic because they're afraid to look at like what's really going on. Instead, it's easier to just be like, this is the fault of my neighbor. This is the fault of the person who doesn't believe or think like me. It's like an easy, like, infantile response.
It's certainly in the realm of possibility. Like, I think that, again, you have to take all information with so much salt that it's kind of difficult to form, like, a solid truth on a lot of stuff, especially where they want to purposely make details hazy and murky to fit whatever agenda they want.
Yeah.
But that being said, it's totally within the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like unheard of at all.
Yeah, definitely. But it just, I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. I'm like I keep saying, like, I'm schizo. Like, I don't know. I just, it's so much broader than the small pigeonholes people try to pin these things on, and the discourse is so maddening around it, and nobody's really asking any sort of novel questions about anything. It just keeps happening on this like cyclical pattern, and it keeps escalating and it keeps going, and I just don't know if anything will ever change. And like, it's like that weird thing where it's like, if nothing's going to change, then what's the point in even looking at it?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what most people feel now. Yeah. It's like, what's the point in even looking at it if nothing's going to change?
That's exactly how I feel. Definitely.
Because it's just too horrible.
Yeah.
It's too fucking horrible.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and then it's so avoidable.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's just like, well, you don't want to take any action.
It's massively avoidable.
You don't want to take any action about any of it. Then, yeah, see you again next year. See you again in 2 months, maybe.
Yeah.
See you again in a week sometimes. Yeah. How horrible is that?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, well, you got to do something about it, dude.
And it's not even clear that even any of the measures that people are proposing to stop this would even curtail it in the first place, because it runs a lot deeper. If like mentally ill teenagers are corresponding with like ex-FBI people.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you have like an epidemic of atomization, loneliness,
absolutely,
and like isolation among young people, like we're living in a time now where you don't even have to like have any connection to reality if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
That plus economic issues, plus like all the different things, plus a big farmer, like mental health crisis. Like there's so many different things that go into this whole situation.
Yeah.
You know? And then obviously there's also the whole like deal with guns in America as well. Like as somebody who comes from a European country, like where people are not worried at all about their kids being shot in schools because we don't have guns. It is jarring when you see shit like this happen. And, you know, almost immediately people started like being like, well, this is why you should vote for Democrats because they're going to get rid of the evil. It's the evil Republicans' fault that kids are dying. And if you don't agree with Democrats, you're responsible for dead children, like all of this like fucking bullshit. And it's like the Democrats have all the power and like a fucking majority. They could do something about it. They could have done something about it. They could have fucking done something about it and they fucking didn't.
And what, you're going to tell me no Democrat has ever taken any fucking lobbying money from any pro-gun interests?
It's all complete fucking bullshit.
It's all money. They're all there to make money, mate.
Smoke and mirrors and fucking bullshit, dude. Completely.
They're all there to make money.
Completely. And like, okay, I don't know. Americans always get very testy about guns. And it doesn't even matter what side of the political spectrum they're on. Like, there are pro-gun people on every side of the political spectrum in America. And I don't know. I can't really, like, as a person who's lived in Europe, especially in a cosmopolitan part of Europe, we have only just started seeing our police with guns, like, now because of all the anti-terror shit. But I grew up having never seen a gun in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I went to high school in America where I saw a gun for the first time on a police officer. And it was quite a frightening experience, I'm not going to lie.
I think the first time I saw a gun was when I went to the airport.
Yeah, dude. They have like fucking big guns there.
Yeah. I was just like, oh shit.
It's like really crazy.
You definitely don't want to bring any drugs or do anything bad. Because like, they got like fucking guns, bro. Like, you don't want to fuck around
here. It's like pretty serious stuff. I don't know. I mean, a lot of like people will be like, all the Americans will go, like, oh, you're such a pussy. You're such a European like pussy. Like, fuck you. But I do find guns frightening.
Rightfully so. They're killer machines.
But at the same time, like, it's a very complicated issue.
Well, not machines, devices.
But at the same time, it's also quite a complicated issue in terms of like how this issue can be addressed holistically. And of course, there are some policy issues that need to be resolved. There's absolutely no inkling why anyone would think the Democrats would actually do anything substantial about it. So I don't necessarily see much hope on the legislative front at all.
No.
As
you said, they had plenty of chance to change that stuff. And it's not like tragedies hadn't happened during the time Obama was
massively
in charge.
Sandy Hook happened under Obama, didn't it?
Pretty sure.
Like,
so, you know, it's not like they didn't have opportunities. They didn't have chances. They didn't have massive moments like this.
Yeah.
That made them go like, oh, yeah, we've got to do something about this and we're going to change something.
Yeah.
Diddly fucking squit happened.
Yeah.
So like, how much energy do you have to constantly go through this fucking rigmarole?
I don't know, man. It's cyclical and it's exhausting and demoralizing. One minute it's abortion again, then it's fucking gun control again, then it's white supremacy, and then it circles back around to abortion. It's just like endless. It's like, again, that
it's
whole
feudal personality. It's the same like less than 10 subjects like constantly,
I know,
on fucking
trans, like, it's like, it's the whole like feudal cult of personality driven politics. That's like literally what it is. It's like politics prioritized over economics. And sort of power machinations, these like intra-elite squabbles
while everything kind of goes to shit by the wayside.
But I do feel like, you know, so you know how like there was that meme of someone saying like, oh, you boys these days just want to listen to Steely Dan and watch Sopranos. And I felt like it was
called out.
I felt like it was the Truman Show again. And I had like one of those moments and I had to sit down for a minute. So that feels like I'm on the wavelength, right? And like there's a lot of like young men like me that have also very similar like feelings and interests about today.
Yeah.
Right? So like, and I feel like the way that I've been so drawn into like ideas from people like Robert Anton Wilson and people like Timothy Leary, I've just started reading Timothy Leary's flashbacks now, which has been amazing. But like, I've been so drawn to people like that because the ideas and the way they talk about the future and just fucking how things could be different, how you can try things in a different way, is like so fucking refreshing and like inspiring to like actually see people go through that motion of actually trying to do something different out of the box.
Yeah.
Because no one can do that anymore. No one is really like, do you know what I mean? Conformity,
yeah,
is the game.
But conformity
is
how
you get into the algorithm. Yeah. That's how you be successful. Yeah. That's how, like that, all of that. If you're not conforming, then you're not sortable. And if you're not sortable, then you're not searchable or you're not findable. And that's everything within a digital realm.
Yeah.
So like you have to fucking conform in such rigid fucking ways to have success almost in anything these days.
Yep.
It's really hard to branch out and like really try to be
out of the box.
Yeah, out of the box, thinking independently, not even just thinking independently, but thinking about major things like global fucking issues, psychology, how we relate to each other, how we can heal from fucking trauma, like all these sorts of things.
You have to be like a fake like LARPy right aristocrat or like some annoying leftoid Twitch watching, like Radlib, like weird goblin, or you have to be some like enlightened centrist, or you have like, that's literally all, those are like your political options basically, is either you're like standing the squad or you're, it's just like, it's like no one's allowed to think outside of the box anymore. And like, again, it's this sort of rigid cult of personality driven like politics and mentality. And it's because politics is pretty much prioritized over everything else, including economics.
Yeah.
Like, that is completely trumped by this whole, like, media cycle game that we're constantly seeing. And people who
but
are
people
even...
are sick of it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
People are sick of it. This is why I'm drawn to this.
Yeah.
This is why I'm drawn to people that are almost described as utopian thinkers and whatever. It's people that are trying to think of positive fucking solutions to the fucking problems that they saw in the world, in structural organizations, in fucking all sorts of stuff. So like, I feel like there is a really strong urge, at least in probably younger people, to find the next guy or maybe a lady, but probably a guy, like, but, you know,
no,
gonna
Jake,
have this kind
of
new philosophy
like
or something. And I think
like
Jordan Peterson tried.
That
I think
like
Jordan
Coke.
Peterson really tried to be the guy. He tried to be memeable. He tried to be the guy of the modern age to be that out. He's not outside of the box enough. He's not positive enough either. I think he's still...
He's quite depressive.
Yeah, he's very depressive. And like he dwells too much on the issue and not enough on like...
The solution.
Not even the solution, but the healing. And like,
well,
all
no,
of, do you know
I
what I mean?
I don't,
like,
know. I don't think that that's necessarily true. Like, I think that the entire idea of the guy is a psyop.
Maybe.
And I think that all the people who you think are the guys
were psyops. Well, I don't think so,
like,
Angie.
I think so massively.
I don't think so. I think they were fucking well-meaning dudes that had a really big impact on culture.
I think that you have to... I think
like,
that you're... I don't mean
there's
to,
there's
going to
be a new one, and I think that they're going to be very powerful.
No, I don't
That's what I'm trying to say.
No, Jake, that sounds like... It sounds like some kind of weird hippie version of, like, great man theory. And I think that great man theory is a psyop to an extent... Because there are, of course, there are people who are exceptional in some way that do have a massive impact on humanity. But the confluence of
chance, time, circumstances.
Of course, but the real
important thing and the thing that people should be putting emphasis on is their own personal development, their own apotheosis.
Absolutely.
And the sort of, you know, their place in their real communities, basically. Like, that is what I think is a lot of the cure for, like, the spiritual sickness that's, like, haunting us at the moment. And it's all, and because people don't have that, they're more susceptible to, you know, the quote-unquote grand psyop, if you know what I mean, in whatever way it's gonna mess with them. And I think that the whole idea, the seductive idea of a wave of something coming along, is what traps people into these, like, ideological bubbles that we've been discussing. Like, half the reason why people are attracted to, like, the internet left or, like, the new right is because they think they're, like, part of some kind of cultural vanguard that's doing something fresh, new, and interesting. Meanwhile, they're, like, rehashing a lot of old ideas. And yeah. Also, they're the biggest conformists out there. Like you said.
Yeah.
It's not new. It's not fucking outside of the box. It's not, like, fresh. It's literally conforming because you're too afraid to look silly or look stupid or say something dumb. But you have to do a lot of that in order to get somewhere true.
It's frustrating, you know? Because the same cultural and fucking political, like, 8 or 9 subjects are the same fucking loop since the guys that I've been reading, since, like, fucking Bob and Timothy's time, right?
It's really interesting because when we were reading Robert Anton Wilson's book in book club, which is over now, but we're going to be choosing a new book to start soon, a lot of the political and cultural issues that come up now, he mentions when he was writing this book way back when.
In the 70s, man. Yeah, in the early 70s.
It's the same shit over and over again, and it's become almost like ritualistic at this point. It's like this morbid, like, fucking ritual.
Yeah.
And people are really, really, like, invested in it. And also, it also transforms people into bloodthirsty demons who are, like, awaiting tragedy so that they can, like, use it to, like, reinforce their worldview.
Yeah.
That's a deep, deep darkness right there. That's like a deep, 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 deep darkness. And I don't think people really grasp the extent to how messed up that is.
Well, that darkness is being utilized. Like, if you think about it, like, fucking Logan Paul launched, that's what, like, launched his channel, really, right? Was that whole scandal of him going into the Japanese suicide forest and filming himself around those fucking unalived folks.
Yeah.
So, like, people are using that energy to, like, propel themselves, and it's not seen as, like, well, it was seen as a bad thing,
but not
in such a way that, like, he lost credibility, or even if something is bad...
these days, it's like being some kind of dark alchemist. Like, attention is still attention at the end of the day. And the fact of the matter is, in the attention economy, negative attention doesn't necessarily work against you. And there are loads of people who will, like, harness these dark forces in order to aggrandize themselves. And that doesn't just stop with, like, influencers and shit. It's also, like, the politicians, the powers that be.
Yeah.
The people who run shit. And yeah, like, I don't know, it's been heavy just, like, energetically this week, just feeling the weight of this stuff on people's psyches, and also how the response is never constructive. It's like, it was this deep, deep demoralization.
Then if we're going, you know, leaning back towards feudalism, as you're saying, if I'm understanding you correctly, then, like, I think the neo-Amish state and breakaway civilizations are going to become much more appealing to people, right?
No, dude, we would just be like the Cathars trying to, like, live out.
Even better.
The Cathars got, like, fucking destroyed, dude.
But we'd give it a good shot.
No, dude. I don't even think we would last as long as the Cathars.
We can try and, like, tap into some of the old...
doing our old Gnostic religion, trying to, like, you know, keep the light of Sophia away from the Demiurge. But the Demiurge has pretty much taken over
everything.
I think
if it all breaks down and kings and queens become a real thing, which does feel like also weird that they're
kings and queens in all but in title. I don't think that they would necessarily, I don't think that they
in this country, mate, I wouldn't be surprised. They're ramping up all this fucking royal propaganda shit like you wouldn't fucking believe.
But
at
it's
the
because
moment.
The queen is on her last legs, that's why. So I've been saying that now for like 10 years.
It's just gross,
she
man.
She's just like alive.
With
she's
the opening of that train line, the Elizabeth line,
yeah.
And fucking, oh my God, it's just nonstop fucking chatter about the queen at the moment. I
and
can't
they're
stand it.
They're trying to like prepare us to have a king now.
Look at Charles, look how good he looked
yeah.
doing the speech because yeah. the queen's basically dead.
But even then, this is like the last surviving relic of like old feudalism, and they don't have anything. They're like small fry compared to like the new elites who are basically monarchs in everything but title. So yeah, I don't mean like literal feudalism. Well, I mean in terms of how
Elon Musk is a king.
He's the king of Mars.
No. He changed his name. I can't remember if it's within the Tesla contract or the SpaceX one, where instead of CEO as the title, it's Techno King. So he is technically a king.
He's technically a king. Oh dear.
When Techno King, I mean, you know, in some ways, I guess he is kind of correct there. You know, he's got rockets and shit that go to space. I mean, it's not many people that got that.
Oh dear. Oh God. I don't know. It just, I wish this wasn't the future. That's all I want to say.
Yeah.
Like I really do. Like YouTube boxing and people like living in the pod, watching that.
OnlyFans, you know.
Madonna's like robot pussy.
Oh man, we didn't. Let's chat that real quick because let's end on that. That was amazing. Like literally, like Amber Heard's out here being like, "Hey, I've now just snatched the crown for the craziest white bitch in at least recent memory." So like everybody, eyes on me. Madonna's literally just like, "Hold my fucking beer." Boom. Look at these fucking robot pussy NFTs, baby. Modeled off my real fucking body and like, look at my fucking digital tits.
God.
And now I'm going to do all these creepy fucking cryptic TikToks after I've just come out of getting fucking liposuction or Botox, whatever the fuck is going on there. It looks like her face has been inflated.
Yeah.
And then
filler will do that to
And then
you.
There was some headline where she was just like, oh, I got rid of my boy toy or whatever, so I'm auditioning for a new boyfriend.
Would you eat Madonna's robot pussy?
Again, I wouldn't do it for, actually, I would do it for porta potty money.
Like 20k?
20k, I
you
feel like,
eat,
to fuck
like,
Madonna. I feel like even that is almost an insult. I feel like the stories and everything associated around even like, you know, that happening would probably be worth it in itself. The sex is not going to be great and her body's not going to be great. Let's just get that right out the way.
Well, why not? She looks after herself.
She's got a lot of money and everything, so maybe, I don't know. But still, the face alone these days is kind of like, just put a pop a bag on that or something.
Like, well, you don't you know. Like...
Or she's probably got like, you know, some
you
fucking
like
crazy
immortal,
cyberpunk
immortal
shit.
Vampire fembots.
No, she definitely has that exact energy though, doesn't she? That is you've summarized that
like
pretty
Illuminati
beautifully.
Immortal like vampire fembot energy. You're not into that?
No, but I think yeah, it's very entertaining that she still...
You don't want her to suck your cyber dick?
No.
Oh my God.
But again, I feel like, you know, the stories you're gonna get out of a situation like that are probably worth it in itself.
That you like some spider-legged robot.
But then you'd probably
witch.
No,
like
it
fucking...
wouldn't because you'd be on an NDA. That's like the whole shtick with a gig like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you're under NDA and like fucking, you're gonna get. You could possibly even get treated like absolute shit, and like she just like summons you like some sort of sex slave. Like, it could really not
Jake's
be good
like,
at all.
Oh, but I want you to, like, take me to dinner first, Madonna.
Well, it wouldn't be that, though. That's what I'm thinking about. It wouldn't be, like, hanging out with Madonna and, like, you know, no. fucking, like, all the antics no. that would be associated with that.
No.
It would be, like...
You're an employee.
She's, like, stopped in fucking Munich and then you've got to get on a flight at 4 a.m. to go and, like, yeah,
pleasure
fucking...
her robot pussy.
Pleasure me. And you're just like, oh, my God, no. But you've paid me a lot of money, so let's go.
I love how so many guys, like, if you ask them if they would ever be a gigolo, like, 90% of them are like, yeah, yeah, I'd do that.
If the opportunity
be a
was
great
there.
Job. It'd be
yeah,
a great
for
job.
Guys, I think it was just like, are you kidding me? Like, if it's mostly, like, kind of like, oh, like, you know, older, lonely, kind of, not, like, disgusting... Rich ladies.
Jake's like, I'll give her a poke.
That's like not a bad gig, man.
No, dude, that's like degrading.
But porta potty money for 20k a pop, I'd fucking do that, bro.
Is that how much your dignity costs, Jake? I'm fucking surprised at you.
I feel like that would be a. I mean, she'd have to be pretty gross
for it to be like expensive.
Yeah.
But even if she's not gross, you'd probably be dealing with like a BPD girl boss type.
Yeah, but
and you'd have to like the half the job part isn't the sex part. The job is catering to the emotional needs.
Well, how long
of this
does that
crazy
last? That's
woman.
What for like
as long as
for,
it does
for,
she's
the,
paying you.
For the cuddles afterwards because
it's not the cuddles afterwards. It's not like you just get to go.
That's not like a day thing. That's not how this works. You
no,
know
she
I mean?
Pays you for your time. The longer you spend, the more you get paid.
Oh well I'd be like
and the more attentive you are, the more likely it is she'll use you again. Boy toys are a dime a dozen.
You get yeah, but the BPD hoes are a dime a dozen these days, mate.
But not the rich ones. Just... Not rich ones, not successful ones. So if you're getting paid, like you have to give good service, which means that you have to like, you know, basically like it's like a 90-day fiance when like those like really old American women get swindled by Nigerian boy toys. Like those men work hard for their green cards, dude. They fucking grind hard. They have to deal with these crazy women's demands and insecurities and jealousies and everything.
That is true.
And they get talked down to like shit because she's paying for everything. And you're basically her little bitch boy, and you're only allowed to tell her what she wants to hear. Like, men think that being a sex worker would be easy, but it's not. It's not fucking easy. You gotta, like, fucking... You
well,
gotta
depends.
Basically deal with the ego of the type of person who frequently visits prostitutes. And people like that tend to be antisocial. So what you're doing is you're hanging out with somebody who has, like, a serious personality disorder, like... for 8 hours a day or whatever the fuck. That's not fun.
I think you're, you know, a trip to a prostitute doesn't necessarily take 8 hours.
No, I mean, like, if you're someone's boy toy, you're spending prolonged time with them.
That's true.
It's not as
the
if they're
arrangement
just going
with Madonna
to...
wouldn't be just
and most of the women who
situation.
Hire gigolos aren't looking for a quick coom session. They want somebody who's going to simulate romance with them constantly. So it would be a pretty hard job.
But then you probably do get a lot of nice dinners.
Jake's like, just feed me.
You probably do get
just
taken to a lot
I'll
of nice restaurants in that sort of situation as well, though, right?
Yeah, but you also have to deal with outbursts and breakdowns and, you know.
I wouldn't have any time to make music. That wouldn't work for
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
If it was just like, oh, we go for a nice dinner, I give you a poke, give you a cuddle, and then I get to have
what
the rest
of my
day.
What woman is satisfied with just that? Think about what you're saying. It's not like you just give her a reluctant, a little bit of a reluctant pump, and then you're on your merry way.
Yeah.
You have to be convincing. She wants the boyfriend experience.
Well, that's exactly... that's a boyfriend experience.
Yeah, that's like a shit boyfriend experience. You'd have to be as attentive as you are with me, but like 10 times more because she's paying you.
No, that would be rubbish. I don't have that kind of attention span either.
So what you're saying is you would not be Madonna's boy toy.
No, I would only, again, it depends on what the actual situation was. If there's no NDAs involved and I could go and do podcasts and tell all the stories, then like 100% I would do that. But
you'd be like, she spread her legs and it was this
and
like
a bat
metal
flew out.
It was this like metal contraption.
She said, that was a trick I learned from Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh my God, that's disgusting. Anyway.
It bat flew out. She grabbed it before she escaped and she bit its head off.
Disgusting. But anyway, it was lovely talking to you guys, and we shall catch you again next week with a new episode. Love you. Goodbye. Bye.